Hallo, agus fáilte chríe le dáis go Gaelic Song Stories, an pod chrúlach far an bimise, dírde gríamach, a tórst súl ar na scíalachgan ar cúlach na náran. Hello and a very warm welcome back to the penultimate episode in this series of Gaelic Song Stories with me, Deirdre Graham. Throughout this podcast series, I've been looking at more stories and themes behind Scottish Gaelic songs. As a Gaelic singer myself, I have a lifelong affinity with the songs and stories that surrounded me growing up, which have been transmitted through the oral tradition and more recently in recordings and collections. These stories echo across the Highlands, and as I delve into them, I want to take you on a journey to explore the Scottish Gaeltacht and highlight the continuing relevance of these songs. I'll be interviewing some wonderfully knowledgeable guests, each of whom have a keen interest and expertise in several areas, including war, piping and political struggles, each with a good smattering of humour. Rona Lightfoot is a name that has become synonymous with the music, language and culture of the Gaeltacht. She has been described as a one-woman ceilidh with a treasure trove of folklore and the spirit to take on authority and win. Well, I certainly agree with that sentiment and had the greatest time sharing songs and stories with her recently. Our conversation this week was in two parts. Firstly, we get a glimpse into her world that surrounded her growing up in South Uist, a world which was so truly Gaelach, with every aspect of her life touched with music, song and stories. We also talk about some of the injustices and prejudices that she faced in a man's world of piping, and how her strength in tackling these issues has opened pathways for women in piping today. Secondly, we get to looking at some piping songs and stories and talk about the connections between piping and song. And finally, I try my hand at Cantarach, the singing form of Pibroch. Well, you're going to have to listen on to find out how I got on. And so, to Shine Your Feeb with Rona Lightfoot. Enjoy. Fiskema Rona. It's a real treat and a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me.
You're very welcome indeed. Very welcome, Deirdre.
Today I'd like us to have a chat about some of your experiences growing up and some of your stories and songs connected with Pibroch and with piping.
Yes, well, I had a very nice island upbringing in a wee village called Kerrihilly, South Uist. And I was the second youngest of seven children.
Wow.
And I'm named after my oldest brother, who I never met. He died when he was nine.
Oh, really?
And his name was Ronald, so I was the next to be born, so I was called Rona.
Oh, wow.
And there's a few Ronalds and Ronas in the family. My niece is called Rona as well, because my youngest brother, who was called Ronald, he was killed in a road accident at the age of 27.
Gosh.
And she was the next to be born in the family, so my brother and his wife Angela, my sister-in-law, called their daughter Rona as well.
It's a strong family name.
So that's four of us named after the first grandfather,
that's
my father's
amazing.
Father. Four of us, so quite a number of Ronalds in the family.
Yeah.
Male and female.
Amazing.
I started copying my father playing the chanter and that at a very, very young age. I was accused of, at the age of three, taking tongs from the fireplace and putting a cushion under my arm and parading round the croft, kidding on I was playing pipes. And my mother accused me later on in life that I lost a number of tongs. However, I can never remember ever finding any of them. Not that I particularly remember going to look for them. Anyway.
She was ever replacing the tongs.
Yes, she was forever. Anyway, I started learning the chanter myself, copying my father, but it was all by ear, you know, and I was just watching what he was doing and picking it up. But my grandmother told me that my father's great aunt or great great aunt used to play the pipes and steal them and go out to the hill to play them. Oh. Her name was Christine. My grandmother told me this when I was, by that time I was playing pipes. And she used to get a terrible row because it wasn't a thing that a girl was to do. And her name was Christine, and when she became of age and had her own free will, she emigrated to Australia and she was never heard of again.
Really?
Well, I never heard of her until my grandmother told me about it, and she played the pipes. But that's, she got amazing, a row for playing the pipes when she came home. They would miss the pipes out of the house, and probably from a tattoo, you know,
a thatched house. Yeah.
Yes, everything would be thatched houses in those days.
So there's a strong piping line in your family.
Yes, my father's brothers, he had four brothers, and they all played the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll count them. Johnny is Rolls Rudy is Alec. I think that's four. I was right. And he had three sisters. I don't know if any of his sisters ever bothered to play. But anyway, my three brothers could play, but they never competed, except my brother Neil did compete. Ronan Glasgow's father, he competed. And there was sometimes friendly rivalry between us.
Yeah.
When we came home from school, I had the pipes on my shoulder when I was nine. And I was a right shoulder player, which Rudy Rutchen, my father's first cousin, used to say, he was right shouldered as well. You never hear a bad one on the right shoulder, Rudy would say. Anyway, I'll never forget him saying that to me. So anyway, when we came home from school, especially on a Friday night, we'd have some of the boys in the village and so on come round and play with us, you know. And my old uncle, Ronald, was always sitting at the fireside, and he would have a prize. I was sure it was a half crown, but when I was relating the story to my brother, and when we were talking about it, he said it was a shilling. And I said, no, he gave us a half crown. Well, he only ever gave me a shilling, he said. But anyway, that was a lot of money when I was very young. And we used to play marches, and then, of course, we had to start learning Kilmore. And I started going to my uncle in Frobisht. He was 4 miles away.
So it was from your uncle that you...
Yes, that you I got learned. My first pibrach, which was...
Right.
Cung Wichgedosich, Macintosh's Lament.
Can you explain to us a little bit what Kilmore is or pibrach is?
Kilmore is the classical music of the Highland Pipe. And it's absolutely beautiful. And my husband, I must say that he absolutely lived it. He was English and he had no idea of pipe music. Well, he did, because when he was a wee boy coming home from school, he used to listen to a piper outside. He came from Bexley in Kent. He used to listen to a piper practicing outside the fire station, which was during the war, of course, very active, the fire station. And we met up later on with this man here in Inverness, because he used to be, he ended up being a driving instructor. And,
oh, really?
And he put me through my driving test, and that's the man that my husband used to listen to.
No.
As a wee boy of 12.
That's incredible.
Yes, on his way home from school, I used to sit on the wall and listen to him play. That's amazing.
That's an incredible
And of course, I never told my husband when we were courting, I never told him anything about the pipes.
Really?
We were married before he knew I could play the pipes. And you talk about knocking him over with a feather, was never in. But he was very, very supportive and helped me a lot to get women into competition. Because they were not very keen to have women in competition.
No, but you forged a path for other women to...
Yes, yes. he was very good with the pen, my husband, as is my son. He didn't take it from me because my letters are half Gaelic, half English, and it's bad Gaelic and bad English. Anyway, he could write very clever letters, and he helped me a lot to... I thought it was so unfair, like so many jobs that women can't do and so many things that they can't do. Well, they can, but they're not allowed.
Yeah.
So many clubs and things they're not allowed to be members of. I believe there's a lot of stink about golf and so on.
Yeah.
There's that. And as I don't know about other musical instruments, but the pipes were very... difficult anyway to get into the competitions, and I had quite a lot of strife, and some pipers who the very good ones, you see, they were nice, they had nothing to fear.
Yes, yeah.
But it's the mediocre ones; these are the ones that were not at all nice. Oh. Did everything to put me off. I was sent home from the Northern meeting here in Inverness because I wasn't dressed properly and I shouldn't go into the march dressed like that. I was dressed like a Highland pipe, like a Highland dancer. But I refused to wear a sporran and a skin do and knitted stockings and all that stuff. I wore a frilly blouse and I just had shoes on rather than dancing pumps. Pumps. Can you?
I'm sure
When I got back, he told me that I had a waistcoat on, a velvet blue waistcoat with silver piping, a silver buttons. And I said, oh, I've got a jacket at home with a sleeve, the same material, the same thing. Well, you better get it, he says. So off I came home in a taxi, and when I got back, oh, you can't play now, you've missed your turn.
No.
And I said, I'll play at the end. Oh, no, that's not allowed. Anything to keep me out of it.
Wow. The amazing
thing was that a girl from overseas came the following year and she was just wearing a blouse, an open-neck blouse, and she didn't even have a kilt on. So there you go. But she was from a place where the judge was going to get a summer holiday teaching over there, or one of them would be.
It's very unfair.
Very, very. It was grossly unfair. However, we managed
it. But you did it.
We did it. I got stuck in.
That's quite an achievement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other girls are now, and there are very, very good girl pipers.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure there's a few in Skye. I know of a few in South Hughes, too. The Lassie Steele, she played, I don't know her first name. I'm sure I should, but I'm old and I'm very forgetful.
And Bridge Heimbel in Skye.
Yes, she's from Skye and South Hughes.
Yes.
And she's a lovely piper.
Lovely piper, yeah.
And there's loads. There's another lassie in Oban who's... And, of course, there's lots of them in Canada and
all over the place. So many more doors open to them now?
Oh, yes. I mean, if they achieve what the competition demands, if they achieve mm-hmm. a place in, say, Oban, they can play in Inverness and mm-hmm. so on. And it depends on your record. But that's the same as for men, so it's okay.
Can I mention something you were saying about your husband being very supportive? Did I read rightly that you went to sea with him and played the pipes?
Oh yes, I taught myself a pibroch away at sea one time. MacLeod Salute.
Uh-huh.
And when I went home, I went to my tutor and played it for him. And I said, I was thinking I would play it at the Florida MacDonald competition, which was happening, say, in a few weeks' time or next week or something. And he says, why don't you just give it an airing and we'll see what happens? So he didn't say that I didn't learn it right or anything. You know, he said that I did a good job,
uh-huh.
just following the Pibroch Society book, and I got the first prize with it, as far as I remember.
Clever.
Aye. So there you are.
There you are. So all that piping influence came from your father's side of the family, really.
Yes, and my mother. My mother, as a matter of fact, I promised I would never tell anyone. Until at least she died, she said, don't tell anyone. But one night I came home from, I was working in the local hospital for a while, and she was sitting at the fire, and I picked up the chanter, and I was playing the chanter, and she took it off me, and she played a Martha's Bay and Reel for me, which was just amazing.
Wow.
And she says, don't you dare tell anyone that
really?
I can do that. Wow. And I never did, but I told my brother before she died, I told mm-hmm. Neil, my brother who'd played and competed with me.
Uh-huh.
I told him, but he promised not to split on me, you know, not to tell anyone. She didn't want anyone to know.
She's very modest.
But they were full of music on uh-huh. both sides of my family.
So your mother, Ben Arturel.
Uh-huh.
Kate was her
Kate,
name.
Kate, uh-huh. yes.
And she, I suppose, to many Gaelic singers will be very well known as a contributor of over 200 songs, I think.
Yes, I believe she gave over 200 songs or something like that to the School of Scottish Studies.
And you hadn't known she had all those songs?
Nobody knew until Dr. MacLean came and lived in the island, and anybody who came looking for any old stuff, they were steered to Dr. MacLean's house, because he knew everybody on the mm-hmm. island, being the doctor and so on. And my father took me to entertain this lady. Polly was her first name. Anyway, she came from the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the pipes for her, and Dr. MacLean said something about that, you know, that this lady was looking for old stuff, stories and old cures for illnesses and songs and anything at all, that, you know, the culture, more mm-hmm. or less. And my father said, well, I think my wife knows a song like that, like you're after. So my mother was sent for, and as my father said later on, we took the lid off the well. She couldn't stop singing. So she was into her 60s before she was discovered by Alistair MacLean and Callum, his brother.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And the wealth of songs.
Wealth of songs, but nobody was listening to her. She used to hum to herself at the house. When she was forever making soup and making food, and she was forever humming and singing and so on,
uh-huh.
probably keeping them in mind.
Yeah. And so then did you Did you learn them from her at all?
Yes, I learned them from her, and then the School of Scottish Studies sent me some of her singing.
Oh, wow.
And Mórach MacLeod from the School of Scottish Studies, from who lives in Scalp, I know she's retired. She was very generous with anything that helped me or, you know, that I wanted, because I loved these songs. And especially if they had anything to do, well, it was just to do with the culture and the way of life. And and I thought that the songs were so clever, the way they were, these women sitting round a table and giving each other some stories or gossip in song. That's difficult to do.
On the spot as well.
Yes, and they would repeat the verse so that or the chorus so that the others could pick it up and pick up the tune. Who was putting the tune to it? The person who was composing it, I suppose.
It's remarkable.
Absolutely. I wish I had half their brains.
So the songs then that you learnt would have come more, did they come more from Mórach MacLeod and the School of Scottish Studies rather than hearing them directly from your mother?
Oh, I heard them directly from my mother.
So
because
both of her.
Yes, both really.
Aye.
And very, very often when Dr. MacLean and his wife Rena would have people in, and they would have my mother and father were friends with them, and my mother would be there singing and I would be with her doing the chorus, you know. So you pick them up that way as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're interested at all.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. Which I was very interested. I just lived.
Loved
and
indeed.
She would correct you. You know, if I was singing it on my own, she would correct me, which was very good.
Great.
Yeah, so there you are.
Happy memories.
Well, very, very happy memories, yes.
And South Uist as well is so well known for a really rich culture of piping especially and songs.
Yes, yes.
So it's little wonder that it surrounded you.
Oh, it absolutely surrounded me. And I mean, the people playing for the gold medal here in Inverness didn't play as diligent as than us on a Friday night for this half crown that my uncle would give us. We went all out for that half crown, I'm telling you. And we used to try and put each other wrong. So that, you know, you'd try and put me wrong and I would try and put you wrong so that I would get the prize.
Healthy competition.
Healthy competition, yes. And of course, another thing that used to happen, my oldest brother, if he went to the pub and he came back with a couple of boys and they had a good shot on, quite often they were pipers or, you know, they would, can we play the pipes? Yes, of course, and my father would go and put in a new reed so that it would be played in for us. Because to start a new reed, it's very strong and
hard to break in.
He would always give it to the boys who had too much to drink. He was full of plans like that.
That's brilliant. Oh, that's lovely. It just encapsulates such a lovely image of
the household.
The household.
Yes.
Culture and Gaelic and stories and music.
And just dancing at New Year and playing the pipes.
Great.
Playing the pipes half the night for people. And I remember one young man trying to do the sword dance with 2 teaspoons.
Oh, he'd have dainty footwork.
Very dainty footwork, I'm telling you. But he had a few drums. It was New Year time. It was New Year's night. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's good.
Fun.
So,
lot of fun.
Yeah. Lots and lots. Maybe we could move on and talk a little bit about the connection between Pibroch and Gaelic songs, because there's a strong connection between the two.
Oh, yes.
So many songs that come
there's
from
Pibroch.
There's
so many songs, and of course, I already told you that most of the ones of the songs that I know, Margaret Stewart from Lewis, mm-hmm. and Alan MacDonald, mm-hmm. they researched, you know, there mm-hmm. were so many songs lost after the Battle of Culloden. Thousands of them, or maybe not thousands, but at least a lot of them, because most of the very old Pibrochs, they would have a song. The song came first, uh-huh. and the Pibroch came after. Okay. So I was told.
And so would the songs have been lost then because the pipes had been...
Discouraged. You weren't allowed mm-hmm. to wear the tartan. You weren't allowed till they had a war. Mm-hmm. And they needed soldiers.
Oh, wow, yes.
Yes,
there's the irony. Uh-huh.
How nice of them to give us back the tartan.
Black Christian.
Aye. Anyway, one of my favourites, of course, was Homi Pogalavarui, I Got a Kiss of the King's Hand, which my uncle taught me as a Pibroch many, many moons ago. And that was one, Alan MacDonald told me the story of 1,000 Highlanders went down to help the king at the Battle of Worcester in 1641, as far as I remember. And he won the battle, and the king went to thank them for helping him win the battle. And there was one of them with a tourion, a bonnet. Mm-hmm. And the king said, why are all of you bareheaded and this man is wearing a bonnet? Oh, your majesty, said the fellow that was introducing him. He said, this is the king of all the pipers of Scotland. This is John MacCrimmon. And apparently, according to the story, it was centuries or a few generations anyway after that one of the MacCrimmons composed the Pibroch, I Got a Kiss of the King's Hand.
Fantastic.
And it goes, the song goes, with me pockers, pockers, pock. Oh, with me pock, alivery. With me pockers, pockers, pock. Oh, with me pock, alivery. With me pockers, pockers, pock. Oh, with me pock, alivery. Is hat good and crack and curach, nyach a word and oil jack me. Word me pockers, pockers, pock. Oh, word me pock a library. Would me pockers, pockers, pock. Oh, would me pock a livery. Sadhor and Chocoloch the Shafibidach. No, Hafibidach Chocoloch the Shonor and Vakorakamera. The Pibroch is just exactly as the song says. And you know, the song came first, as I said already, according to my mother. Mm-hmm. And I liked Donaloch. I don't know who else said to me, the song came first and the Pibroch came after the song.
Came after.
Uh-huh.
Aye. I guess song was kind of the root of everyone's lives.
Yes, the songs. Uh-huh. And Kangdarach was a big thing. My mother was telling me that a few times, if the piper didn't turn up at a dance, mm-hmm. when she was young, the dances would be in the schoolhouse. And if the piper didn't turn up, maybe he had to do some crofting work or mm-hmm. whatever. And he had to walk miles anyway. There were no cars then. And the women, some of the women would sit and they would count while the others, while the younger ones would be on the floor dancing.
The women would?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the women would count away while the youngsters danced, waiting for the piper. Because there was no such a thing as a fiddle. There was fiddles, but it was usually a piper at dances. Mm-hmm. Even when I was young, it was usually a piper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until Ian McLaughlin came along, and then he was in Benbecula, and of course the gym, and things started changing when the RAF came, and
mm-hmm.
and we had the gym in Benbecula, and gymnasium, where that's where the dances were.
And so they became bigger, kind of.
Oh yes, it was uh-huh. a big, big, big occasion.
Uh-huh. And Ian McLaughlin, sorry, but he play the box.
The box, uh-huh. yes. Yeah. And of course, then there's down in North Hughes, there was McCorkadale.
Uh huh. Yep.
Calamian, yes.
Yeah.
Good player, great player.
So Huaid Mi Pog, sorry to go back to that one a second.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
Yes.
It's really lovely.
Obra o tiri ahi enta obra hidri ahi enta obra entidri yoha ambo. That's the first line of the ground.
Correct. And it is the Urther.
And then you have han and ta and to and ta and nan and ta and to and tirio. That's the first variation, and there's a doubling of that. And ta and to and ta and ta and to and to and ta and ti and. And Hasnock.
So in a Pibroch, you'd have the ground, or the Urlad is the first. Urlad,
yes, and then variations after that. It's just like when you have variations in a piece of any classical music, mm-hmm. there's the first piece, and then there's variations afterwards.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, when I heard Pibroch at first, I didn't understand.
No.
I didn't understand it at all, and I found it quite difficult.
Yes.
Until it was explained to me, the
Urlad,
and then the different variations, and from yes. then on,
yes.
it kind of released yes. me a bit and opened my mind to yes. go, oh, I understand what's going on, and I could follow it, and
yes.
I've loved it since then.
Oh, yes. That was the same with my husband, but uh-huh. he lived all classical music, and mm-hmm. he was very, very clever. He would, you know, if something came over the radio, he was forever listening to it. He would say, that's by so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was composed in 16 or 17 something.
Wow.
He knew when it was composed and who by.
I suppose a lot of them composed at the same time as many of these people.
Yes.
Or,
yes, suppose you know, so. Yes. Yeah. Well, 1641 was... I got a kiss of the king's hand. Well, it wasn't composed then. It was generations later.
Mm.
But that's only generations.
Yeah.
And when you think of it, my mother is only one generation behind me. ahead of me, if you mm-hmm. put it that way. And she was thrashed in school for speaking Gaelic in the playground.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's only one generation back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing their best to encourage Gaelic.
Encourage it, yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Giving us back our culture.
Mm-hmm. So there are many more Pibroch songs.
Well, there's Muldoon.
Mm-hmm. Which is a South Uist one.
Which is a South Uist one. And my mother left the first verse of this Pibroch song. And Margaret Stewart and the School of Scottish Studies and Murach MacLeod added the other verses to it because it's the same tune
mm-hmm.
and it's the same words. Well, not the same words, but meaning exactly what the woman is, the widow is crying because she's mourning the loss of her the cow that fed her, the house with her children, and mm-hmm. she was widowed. And of course, milk and butter and cheese and everything that comes from milk
mm-hmm.
was a great loss to her poor soul. And it goes, Ha behalach la tuting, shemagula maltaun. Ha behalach la tuting, shemagula maltaun. Ha behalach la tuting, Shemagula maltaun, gat hiri skat hutin, skat lute apol. En ho malti he horo, ho gat en grau farnelon. En ho malti he horo, ho gat en grau farnelon. Hiken todorn hi, sert o lai hivni milorok. Hiken todorn hi, sert o lai hivni milorok. Hiken todorn hi, sert o lai hivni milorok. En ho malti he horo, ho gat en grau farnalon. Ian pi mwy o ho, an tor man tui o ho, her let clai o ho, mor y saiet o ho. He can hold on he, set alive ni milorok. He can hold on he, set alive ni milorok. He can hold on he, set alive ni milorok. En ho malti he horo, ho gat en grau farnelon. Schap halach la tutin, shem agula maltaun. Schap halach la tutin, Shemagula maltaun, chapehalach chotetin, Shemagula maltaun, gat hiri skat hutin, skat lute apau. It's a beautiful song.
It is lovely. I love all the different parts to it and how it goes back as well.
Yes, and it goes back to the first verse. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to a pibroch, a piper, playing even in competition, when he finishes the pibroch, it depends on how long the pibroch is. Sometimes they just play the first line of the ground, but that's not included in the competition. But sometimes if it's a short pibroch, he might play the whole ground again.
Oh, right.
Like the Donald MacLeod compositions, they're not very long. Quite a lot of pibrochs, like Cúna Cloinigh and Lament for Donald Dougal Mackay and all them, they take 15 minutes to play. So if you were in competition and playing that, you'd play the first line of the ground again, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would play the whole ground again.
Mm-hmm.
Because the judges would be getting tired of you, I suppose. Especially if you didn't play very well. For you, there you are.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Cúna and the Cloinigh there, and that's got a beautiful,
yes,
heartbreaking song attached.
Yes,
it.
Yes, that's when Patrick O'Clough lost all his children.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it Patrick?
Patrick Moore, I think.
Patrick Moore. Patrick Moore lost all his children. Oh dear! To the smallpox.
So yeah, that's right. And the 17th century, again, the same kind of time period.
Yes.
And allegedly, the smallpox was brought to Skye. So Patrick Moore was of the McCrimmon family, and they were all the pipers to Clan MacLeod of Dunvegan.
Yes.
In Skye and Harris. And the pibroch was composed when seven out of the eight of his children were taken in a year. Mm-hmm. And apparently the smallpox arrived on Skye. A boat had come in, or a sailor returning from a boat had picked it up. Some, I suppose, like any of these illnesses, if they're not local to a place, you know, they can really tear through a community.
Yes, what happened in Mingley, off Barra.
Uh-huh.
It was populated.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't hearing from the people. The mainland of Barra itself, mm-hmm. the island of mm-hmm. Barra, wasn't hearing anything or any signs of anything from Mowley.
Uh-huh.
And fishermen went over, and a young boy went ashore, and they were all dead.
Oh.
People were all dead.
From a disease that had come in? Or?
Yes, somebody must have landed and left them with something. I've got two granduncles buried in France. They got typhoid.
Oh, gosh.
Typhus or typhoid on board ship. And I don't suppose Britain would let the ship near its waters.
Mm.
So they were buried in France. My granny's brothers.
Gosh.
My grandmother's brothers. That's awful, isn't it?
It's terrible.
But that's the way it was. I suppose they were trying to keep their own people safe.
Yeah. And I suppose then, you know, music is such a release of emotion that it makes sense to have something composed.
And that boy, apparently, that went ashore in Mowley, it was a local priest, Father Callum McClellan, who was from, he was more or less a local man. He was from Edishkay.
Mm-hmm.
But a very learned man, and they wouldn't let the boy back on board the boat.
In case
so he was
up.
A year a year on his own on Milway. And wow. He buried all these people himself.
Oh.
And they led him back. McPhee was his surname. And there are still McPhees in, around in Barra, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Descendants of him.
Wow.
Well, that's what I was told. I hope it's true. It was from a priest. I heard it, so surely it's true.
Surely. Hey, it was so cool in the Clunya is the Pibroch then, yes. That was composed in grief, I suppose.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For the loss of Patrick Morrison.
What did Sorley say about it?
The most Sorley McLean, I was saying to you, he said that...
the most beautiful of them all.
Yeah, the most melodic and beautiful Pibroch of them all. Yes. Is this one.
Obviously his favourite.
I think it might be mine.
I've got the wrong tune.
Will we sing
doing
the song?
Macintosh's Lament is the one.
Oh, well, we sing Irichin Day and then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Irichin Day, Hook me Gulut, Irichin Day, Hook me Gragut, Hook me Gulus, Hook me Gragut. Hook me crack, nach took me hach good. Here in day, hook me crack good. Han måste nåt all.
Så nu måste man inte då.
Gorgeous. Jag snakkar det här. Så ni hör två in i. Och jag känner för han är då han inte misser oss och han är med dig eller har han skickat? Well, my first Pibroch was Macintosh's Lament,
mm-hmm.
And the first person I heard singing that song was Margaret Stewart.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's a beautiful Pibroch, and that's the one I made a mistake of. It must be going through my head,
yeah,
a wee while ago. And it goes. Strugna chromishin, svidinje laivor, stochon, loy lekatu, lekatu, loy lekatu,
O chóne lúile cadú be a lach a gari. Eliún húcat gat van is, Eliún húcat gat van is, Eliún húcat gat van is, ek tar a lúile. O chóne lúile cadú Le catu, lui le catu, ho chone lui le catu, pe aloch agari. Vam im vritich im vritin, vam im vritich im vritin, vam im vritich im vritin, snam vam drachsen un uedat. O chóne lúi le catu, le catu, lúi le catu. O chóne lúi le catu, pe aloch agari. Gan chrán edan tú lórst, gan chrán edan tú lórst, gan chrán edan tú lórst. Ach na chet usul buanasti, o chóne lúi le catu, le catu, lúi le catu, o chóne lúi le catu, pe aloch agari.
Well, that's very nice.
Now, when you do the that tune was that Pibroch was taught to my uncle who taught me by John MacDonald of Inverness, who was a very famous piper, and he used to go to South Hughes to teach when my uncle Angus was a young man. And it goes tiri wee tiri Braha hidri tia chrombo tia hendabra ta hendabra chodam bro tidri tiu ha tiu hiu ha tia hiya hiya ho te o ha o ha o han ho han ti han ti hu ha. I did the first line of the ground, and then there's a thumb variation on the ground and the first line of the first variation. And I did that because I'm going to tell you a wee story about my Uncle Angus when he was teaching me the tune. In some of the Pibroch society, it's ti-di-ti-hoo-ha. The grace note at the end of the line is on the F, but John MacDonald of Inverness, the grace note was on the E. Which I preferred, but anyway, when I went home, I was told this, and I went to Shani Rochen for a for tuition as well, and he preferred to put the grace note on the F. And I went back to my Uncle Angus and I said, Shani Rajan told me to maybe put the grace note on the F. You do what you want, he says. Put it on the F if you want, but don't come back to me for any more tuition.
Oh no.
Because that's what John MacDonald told me, and of course John MacDonald was good to him. And the why I'm telling you the story was the day my uncle was buried, the priest came to me and he said, "Do you know that you've been left out of his will because of a grace note?" He had no will anyway. He had very little to leave, poor old man. He was 102. That's what Father Max Wynne from Barra. No, he was originally from Used.
He got you there.
Yes. He came to tell me. He buried him, man. He said, he said you were left out of his will because of a grace note. So he must have been, so my uncle must have been telling the priest
about it.
Must have been very important. That one grace note was very important to him. That's why I'm telling you the story how engrossed they were in the piping.
Well, the grace notes, they're very particular. One grace note.
It's only a...
Grace note can get you cut out of a will then.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Rona, when your uncle was learning them himself, or when you learnt them from your uncle, would you have learnt them as songs first or as píbroch? Would you have learnt the songs with them?
He would cántarach it to me.
Cántarach,
More or less, I would have the chanter and he would do it by word of mouth.
So let's talk about cántarach because I find it so interesting.
Yes, and anybody can really do it. I'm thinking of something else. I was thinking of what the people in Nova Scotia call luag. Call it milling.
Oh, the milling, yes.
Milling.
For the walking songs.
Yes, for the walking songs. That's what I was thinking.
And it's men that do the walking songs there, the milling.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes, very, very good.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's hard work.
Leave it to the women. Exactly.
Very hard work.
So tell us a little bit about cántarach then.
Cántarach is just that's the way. If there's only one chanter in the house, my father teaching me a march, say, he would cántarach it and I would play it. And he would. And maybe you would do the notes and do the grace notes and dibblings and all the falderals afterwards, you know.
So it's like a, would I be right in saying it's like a language?
Oh, yes, kind of. Most pipers can do it, but if you speak Gaelic, you do it better. If you know what I mean.
But is there a word that's associated with an F or has each note got a word or is it less structured than that?
I don't think so. You could, if you went up the scale, anybody can go up the scale. Sort of thing, and then you put the embellishments on the by word of mouth.
Okay.
That's how you would. I listen to quite a lot of English speaking people, pipers, cántaraching. They're quite good at it, and I would understand it, but it's not as clear to me as a Gaelic speaker, a Gaelic speaking piper doing it for me.
Would you try to teach me some?
Well,
I'm a terrible student, though.
Are you? I don't think you are. Wait a minute now. What easy tune can I think? Well, a tune that always comes to my mind is a reel.
Okay.
Hara hi a hachan tiw.
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 Hara hi a hachan tiw. Hi a hai a hannanan.
Hara hi a hachan tiw.
Hi a hai a hannanan.
I'm not very good at the end.
No, you've put an extra note.
I've got an extra one in there.
Aye, again.
Riest.
Hara hiya hachan teo, hara hiya hachan teo,
hara hiya hachan teo,
hiya hiya hachan teo. That's
closer.
The end of the blind, yes.
Closer.
Yes, hara hiya hachan teo, hachan teo, hachan teo.
Hachatia hochanteo,
hara hiya hari hiya hiya heo, and then tiddy.
Hara hiya hochanteo,
hiya heo, and then tiddy.
Hiya heo, and then tiddy.
Oh dear me, too much. Hiya heo, hachantari, hochantare, hachantari, hiyo, hiya.
Hachantari, hochantare,
hachantari, hiyo, hiya. Hachantari, hochantari, hiya, heo,
hananan.
Hachantari, hochantare, hachantachan,
hachantachan,
tiri, hiya. Haro, hachanta, hochantar, hiya, heo, hananan. Tiri.
Tiri.
Oh, difficult.
Throw me in though, this is good, at the deep end.
Yes.
Right, will we put it all together?
Yes. Hara hiya hachan teo, hara hiya hochan teo, hara hiya hachan teo, hiya heo hananan. Hara hiya hachan teo, hachan teo, hochan teo. Hara hiya hari hiya, hiya heo, hanan tiri. Hachan tari, hochan tere, hachan tari, hiu hiya. Hachan tari, hochan tari, hiya heo, hananan. Do hachan tari. Hochantere, hachantachan, tu, hachantachan, tu, di, hiya, harohanda, hochantere, hiya, heo, hanan, tu, di.
I've got work to do. Oh, that was great. Aha.
It's like sponges. One of the children are like sponges.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll put in the work. I'll try and get it. The next time I see you.
Hey.
And so the cántaireacht then doesn't, it's not just for Kilmore. You can have it for Kilpeck as
oh,
well.
Yes.
For
oh,
dance
yes.
tunes. And
yes, for anything.
Anything
yes.
at all.
Yes.
Any way of...
Well, as I said, that the women used
of course,
to count
at the dances. Yeah.
At the dances.
Yeah. That's a skill.
Aye.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, I danced the Highland Fling as a wee girl with Kandrak. Hurry, another and
and hither and tiddy, hoody, hoody, and hither and tiddy, arrow, and tiddy, hoody, you know, etc.
Yep. I love the way your fingers are going. I can see the dance in your fingers.
My older sister was a good dancer as a child,
uh-huh.
as a young lassie, till she got very overweight in her old age, like me.
Hello.
But
no more dancing.
No more dancing. She was invited to judge the dancing at the North Used Games 1 year, and I was asked to play for the children. And there was one wee girl at the footbeck of Beatle, was it? I guess. Let's say it was the Highland Fair. You give an introduction to the dancers. It was, and they all started, and of course I couldn't stop. This wee girl stopped. She started crying.
Oh.
Of course she wasn't in the prize list, but we decided between us, my sister and I, would make a special prize for it forever. So she got more than the prizes the others got. Put her money together in an envelope. And a special prize goes to... And was she made up a mater? And she made the effort. God knows she'll be now probably a grandmother.
Uh-huh.
God knows.
Oh, that'll stick with her, I'm sure.
Yes. It was nice day out.
Amazing.
But Caillou will put the kettle on.
We'll put the kettle on.
You and I will have a cuppa together.
That sounds lovely. And we'll maybe sing some more.
Yes. Yes.
Well, mila, mila, tang. Thank you so much, Rona.
You're very, very welcome indeed.
And I'm going to practice my cantrach.
Yes, you practice your cantrach. You can listen to any piper. I'm trying to think, is it the... What the hell is the name? Can you name it, Kerav? Can you scout that? Is anyone on route to be too?
What a precious conversation we had, and a great cup of tea afterwards. Thank you to Rona, who gave so generously and offered an insight into the world in which she grew up and the wonderful stories and encounters along the way. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. If so, please remember to like, share, review and subscribe to this podcast. It really does make a world of difference. The music you hear is taken from my album Urantha, which is available through my website www.deirdregraham.com, as well as on the usual streaming platforms. Before I go, I'd like to extend my grateful thanks to the Taskach Fund from Féisín an Gael for supporting this series. I look forward to sharing the final episode of this series of Gaelic Song Stories with you next week, and I hope that you'll join me then. Chun an uair sin, bhí amach glaoibh.